Hello, I'm Derek Walker, the pastor of the Oxford Bible Church. Today I want to talk about God's mighty resurrection power working in us and how we can walk in that power of God. And our key passage of scripture will be Ephesians chapters 1, 2, 3 and 6. The book of Ephesians gives us a revelation about this. And let's start with Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. I pray, Paul prays, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, glory means the manifestation of God. God is the Father of glory. He wants to reveal his power in our lives. May give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And so this is the Holy Spirit, and to operate in his power and in the things of God, as we're going to see, requires the Holy Spirit to give us two things, wisdom and revelation. Now, these two things are put in that order, I think, to put the emphasis on wisdom. But logically, the first thing we need to do is have a spirit of revelation. In other words, God has to reveal to us that power so that we can have faith in that power, so that we can draw upon that power by faith. And that requires the spirit of revelation. I pray that as I speak to you, God will give you a spirit of revelation. And then secondly, we need to also receive from God the spirit of wisdom. Now, wisdom is to do with our actions, is to do what should we do. In other words, we release this power. We need to have faith in this power, but also we release this power by through wisdom, through obedient actions as the Spirit leads us. So he shows us how we should release this power, how we should speak, how we should act that in such a way that this power is released. So we need the spirit of revelation and the spirit of wisdom to release that power. So we pray that God will give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know. And he talks about three things. And we're going to major on the third thing, which is the power of God. But that you might know what is the hope of his calling. This is saying, what is the vision, the hope, the vision that God has for your life? What has God called you to? What is his vision for your life? You need to have a revelation of that and then wisdom to know how to walk in that. Secondly, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? In other words, we need to know. The Holy Spirit to reveal to us what we have in Christ, who we are in Christ, what is our inheritance that is in us, in the saints, and then the wisdom to know how to walk in that. But it's the third thing that we need to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in that I'm going to emphasize today. Verse 19, we pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. And that's the prayer that we're going to focus on today. The exceeding greatness of his power. This is the word dunamis, which means this power is potential power. It's power that is available to us. And when it says his power toward us who believe, it's the word EIS, which means it's the power that is into us or available to us who believe. This is power that is in us through the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says we'll receive power once the Holy Spirit comes upon us. So this power is in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us, and this Holy Spirit power is available to us. He wants to fill our soul and his body and our body with that power. But in order for that power to be operative, we need to have a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power that is available to us who believe. This is power that's available to us to live our life and to walk in the fullness of God's blessing. And we want to have a spirit of revelation of what this power is, what it can do, that it's available to us, and the wisdom to know how to activate that power and walk in that power. And then he describes what this power is and what it can do. And he says, so that you get an idea of this power. He goes on and says, this power is according to the working of the power of his might. Before we go any further, let's just talk about this, because this is the most energetic verse in the Bible, Ephesians 1:19, because it has all the Greek words for power. So he says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power, that's dunamis, toward us who believe, according to the working, which is the energeia. This is the power now in action. Dunamis is potential energy. Energeia is the power that is now released and active. And it's according to the energeia, the working of the power of his might. And that's the kratos of his iskus. The Greek word kratos means ruling power. That's democracy is the rule of the people, you see. Theocracy is the rule of God. So kratos is ruling power, the power of his might. Iskus is like the power of a muscle man, somebody who has inherent strength and power. And kratos is when that power is used to master, to dominate, to control. And so this power that is available to us is kratos power. It's ruling power. It's power that's able to overcome and rule. And it comes from a great source of power. And so these are the different words for power. So dunamis, again, is described the greatness of his power that's available to us. That's God's gift of power in the Holy Spirit, potential energy. But when that dunamis is released by faith, it becomes energeia and kratos, mighty power released. Just like dunamis is where we get dynamite. Dynamite doesn't seem powerful, all right, because it's potential power. But when it's activated and released by lighting the fuse, then you see that power released as energeia. And we release the power, the dunamis power, by our faith and our obedience. And then that power goes into action. And it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In other words, you have the power, and when you step out and witness, that power gets released through your obedience. So we see the combination of kratos and iskus, you know, the power of his might. We see that again in Ephesians 6:10. It says, be strong, that's in dunamo, be empowered. In other words, lay hold of that dunamis power that's in you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's in the kratos of his might. So in other words, there is this power that is available to us that is able to give us mastery and victory. It's called the kratos of his iskus. It's called the dunamis, that once we release it, it becomes energeia. And Paul is using all these words so that we would get a revelation that this power is available to us in the Holy Spirit. That's the revelation he's praying for, that we would have a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power that is available to us and that can be released as energeia and as kratos. To release this power, we first of all have to have a revelation of it. We need to know about it. We need to build our faith in this power. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. The same power that created the universe, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, lives inside you. I pray as you hear this word today, you'll have a revelation of this power. And Paul gives us two examples of this power at work, where this power actually did something, so that we might have an idea of what that power can do for us in our day-to-day life. Praise God. And the first example of this power at work is the resurrection of Christ. Because again, in Ephesians 1:19, he says, his power toward us who believe is according to. Okay, according to. So in other words, this is one example of this power at work. How do we know what this power can do? Well, it's already done something in the past. According to the working of the power of his might. In other words, this power has already been released in the past. It's already been put to work in the past. The power of his might. And that's a picture of God, the arm of the Lord, Iskus, this strong man, all right, releases Kratos' power to take control of the situation. And his energeia did something, which was he raised Christ from the dead. Not just physically, but spiritually as well. Christ was raised in his whole humanity, spirit, soul, and body, and given total victory. That's what that power has already done, as we're going to see. His power toward us who believe is according to the working of the power of his might, which he worked in Christ. There it is. This power has already been released in Christ, energeo, in Christ. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Praise God. So let's look at this example of the power of God. And what he's saying is, the power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us now. The power that's available to us now, he says, I want you to get a revelation of it. And one idea you can have about this power is it's the very same power that released Christ from the dead. Praise God. And he says, this power one day is going to be fully released in us, and that's when we're going to be resurrected from the dead. That's how powerful it is. God just has to say the word to release that power. So let's see what kind of power we're talking about. It was fully released in Christ. Now, in us, it's released in stages, all right? It's released in three stages, actually. It's released in our spirit when we're born again. It's released in our soul as we trust him now in this life. And at our resurrection, it's going to be released in our body. But in Christ, it was all released in one moment, at the moment of his resurrection. But to get an idea of his power, I want you to know that it's greater than the power of creation. Can you imagine how huge this universe is? It's awesome in the power of the billions of galaxies. And yet, the Bible says that creation is the work of God's fingers. He says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've ordained. So that God just needed his fingers, as it were. But salvation, to accomplish our salvation through Christ's death and resurrection, the Bible says that is the work of God's arm. That's a far greater level of power. Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's God's power is compared to his arm. Because in creation, he didn't have to overcome any negatives. But in salvation, he had to overcome sin and death and the evil powers of the enemy. So a greater power is required. And so we need to get a revelation of the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of the power of his might, which he worked in Christ. And now he will describe three things that this power did in Christ. Number one, when he raised him from the dead, that's the first thing. This power is the power of resurrection from death to life. Then he says, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, if we analyze this, we'll see that there are three things that this power did in Christ. Number one, it made him alive. He was dead, but this power made him alive. It says that he raised him from the dead. So this power is available to you right now. In other words, this same power is well able to reverse death in you and give you abundant life in your spirit, soul, and body. In other words, I would say that this is the power of resurrection. It's resurrection power. Now, the second thing this power did is it raised him far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Now, this is describing an upward motion. It's not just being made alive. This is now being an upward motion where he is raised far above all principality, power, and so forth. And this is what I would describe the power of victory. Because he was under, as it were, all these things. He had taken them on himself, and he was under these things. And this power raised him above those things. This is the power of victory over all opposition. This power in Christ has already overcome the enemy. It's overcome the power of sin. It's overcome the power of darkness. It's overcome death. It's defeated every enemy. And therefore, this same power is available to us today in whatever problems and challenges we're facing. It's well able to give you the victory. And I call this ascension power, because Christ was resurrected, first of all, then he ascended. That's the upward motion. So this is the power of ascension, which represents power that gives us victory, that puts us from underneath something to over it. And this power also, he says, made Christ sit at God's right hand. In other words, this power gave Jesus dominion, mastery, authority over all things, to sit at God's right hand on his throne. So in the same way, this power is available to us so that we might reign in life through Christ. Hallelujah. And this is the session of Christ, the sitting down of Christ. So this power made him alive. That's resurrection power. It caused him to ascend far above all opposition. And thirdly, it caused him to sit down in a place of dominion and authority. So that's resurrection, ascension, and session. And so Ephesians 1:19 says this power was already, if you want to know what this power was like, it was fully released in Christ. Then it goes on to describe a second example of this power that's already been released fully. He says, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of the power of his might, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And then chapter 2 is really continuing the same thought. He says, and you. What he's saying is, this power was also released in you. And you he made alive. So the second example of this power is when it was released in us when we were born again. This power came into our spirits and transformed our spirits when we were born again. This is the second example that he now describes in Ephesians 2. This power has already been released in our spirit. Our spirit has been saved and made perfect. And that's what the power of God can do. It's already done something in our innermost being. Ephesians 2, it says, and you, he made alive. Notice, that's the first thing. The power released in Christ was released in your spirit when you are born again and you were made alive. Notice it says, you he made alive who were spiritually dead. So our first problem was spiritual death. We were dead, it says, in our trespasses and sins. So the first thing that this power did in our spirit was make our spirit come alive. Again, it's the resurrection power that raised Christ up from the dead has also resurrected our spirit. That's the first thing that power does, is overcome death and give us life. The second problem he describes in detail is that we were under the power of the enemies of God. As we read on, it says, the summary of it really is that we were under the power of the world. We were under the power of Satan. We were under the power of sin. That is the sin nature in our flesh. And that's how he describes it in these verses. He says, we were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world. So we're under the power of the world system. Number two, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. In other words, we were under the power of Satan. We're in the kingdom of darkness. Thirdly, it says, among whom we also conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. So we are also under the power of our sin nature in the flesh. So that's a pretty devastating, you know, problem. Our spirit was in darkness. And so that's the second problem. We're under the power of the world, the Satan, and the flesh. So the second thing that God's mighty power did was to raise our spirit, this has already been done, far above all these powers, above the world, above the power of the flesh, praise God, above the power of the enemy, Satan. It raised our spirit far above these powers, giving us victory over them, which means you are, if you're born again, you are an overcomer in Christ. You see, God's power that raised Christ from the dead has also been fully released in our spirit when we were born again, making our spirit come alive, and secondly, imparting victory to our spirit, raising our spirit far above principalities and powers, above all our enemies. So we are overcomers in Christ. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who's in the world. 1 John 5, whoever's born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? In your spirit, you are an overcomer. Romans 8 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's true in your spirit. Praise God. The more you live from your spirit, the more you will experience that victory. And then the third problem that we had, he describes in Ephesians 2:3, we were by nature children of wrath. So that's our worst problem, actually, that we were under the wrath, the judgment, the condemnation of God because we were sinners. So the third thing to save our spirit that God needed to do, God's mighty power had to move our spirit from being under the judgment of God's throne. And what he did is instead, he made us to sit on God's throne, praise God, with Christ in heavenly places. So in our new birth, Christ imparted life into our dead spirit, making it come alive with the life of God. He imparted victory so that now we, in our spirit, we have victory over sin and the world and the devil. But thirdly, he imparted dominion and authority to our spirit. In other words, he enthroned our spirit. So your spirit has already overcome sin and Satan and death. Praise God. You are more than a conqueror in Christ, and you sit with Christ in heavenly places. Let's see that now in how this power has given our spirit victory over all these areas. Ephesians 2 verse 4, but God, this is describing the new birth now, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he says, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Your spirit that was dead has now been made alive. Praise God. That power that was released in Christ was released in you, raising your spirit from death to life. You are being made alive together with Christ. Through our union with Christ, the same power that raised Christ has raised our spirit from death to life. Your spirit is resurrected with Christ. It consists of the resurrection life of Christ. So your spirit has already overcome sin and death. Praise God. You have eternal life in your spirit. By his grace, you have been saved. Hallelujah. But secondly, he says, and has raised us up together with Christ. In other words, this power has raised you. This is ascension power, far above all principality and power, above all his enemies. So in union with Christ, you have been raised far above. In other words, God has imparted victory to your spirit. And thirdly, it says, he has made us to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. This mighty power has made Christ sit at the right hand of God, giving him dominion and authority, has now been released in your spirit, causing you to be seated with Christ in that place of authority so that you can reign with Christ. And Paul says, I pray that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the greatness of this power that God released in Christ fully, but also has already released in your spirit. And that same power now is available to us in our everyday life. But first we need to have a revelation of this power. That power is really there in the Holy Spirit who lives inside us. And then we also need the wisdom to pray for the wisdom to, how can I release that power? Through my prayers, through my words, through my actions, my obedience. Praise God. And so we need to have that revelation. The first key to release this power is to know that it's available to us. And then we lay hold of it by faith. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And a good prayer to, you know, Ephesians 3:20, he says, now to him who is able, he's got the power to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now notice this, we access this power through our asking and our thinking. So through the word of God, We come to know what that power is. And we release this power through our prayers. Notice, this power, our asking and thinking is important. We need to have a revelation of it. That's our thinking. But we also need to ask God for the release of that power through believing prayer. And God has the power to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Notice he says, this is the energeo, the power that works within us. In other words, the power of God is working in you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, it's available to you. And if we learn to release that power, God is able to do above all you can ask or think. What he's saying is, whatever level your thinking is at, whatever the level you're asking is at, God can do exceedingly above that. In other words, he's limited somewhat by our asking and our thinking, because even if you move into this power, you're only just tapping the surface of it, because he's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory. In other words, that's the manifestation of the power. He gets the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And so we release this power by believing in it and then obeying it. As we witness, for example, we release the power of the Holy Spirit. We can receive this power for healing. Romans 8:11 says, if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, that's the power that raised Jesus from the dead, if the Spirit dwells in you, then that same power dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. It's not talking about the resurrection. He's saying he will give life to your mortal body. Praise God. We live in our mortal body right now, and one day he'll make it into a resurrection body. But he says the Holy Spirit is there. He is able to give life to your mortal bodies, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So if we believe the Holy Spirit lives in us, and that power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us to heal and give life to our mortal bodies, we can call upon that power, believe in that power, declare that power. That the power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and the Holy Spirit is giving life to my mortal body. We can receive that power. So you are powerful through Christ who lives in you. The resurrection power of God is alive in you. It's available to you. God bless you.
Thank you for watching. Join with us at Oxford Bible Church every Sunday at 11 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time for our live stream service, or join us at Cheney School, Headington, Oxford, 0X37QH. You can watch more of our teachings on our Roku channel and Derek Walker's YouTube channel. All Derek Walker's books are available in printed and Kindle versions in all Amazons worldwide, or online with other great products, or by calling 01865 515 086.